Time now for your letters. Last Saturday, Jackie Lydon spoke with the founder of the Coffee Party Movement. This is a group that says it promotes civil public discourse and is not meant to compete with the conservative Tea Party political group. Susan Stevens of Midland, Michigan writes, "Hey, maybe the tea and coffee folks could arrange to meet up in D.C. on the same weekend. If we met face-to-face instead of taking potshots from behind a keyboard, something of substance might come of it. At the very least, we could practice politeness." Cynthia Rush writes on our website, "If coffee parties created actual dialogue between people who wouldn't normally talk without screaming or sniping, I think it's a great plan, more sensible than becoming sign carriers." Enrio Padilla of Albuquerque says, "I believe the founder has good intentions. I'm just not sure a gathering of strangers has a good chance of reaching any consensus. I'm starting the beer party. Anyone interested?" Last week, we focused on the gap between the personal wealth of white and black Americans, especially that of African-American women. Economist and college president Julianne Malveaux shared her insight. Sam Shirk of Chapel Hill, North Carolina writes, "Thank you for that poignant piece. I'm a single mother who is indeed behind her counterparts, and not because I do not work hard. Kudos to Dr. Malveaux for pointing this out." Michael Reed of Osborne, Kansas says, "This is the harvest we reap from LBJ's Great Society and War on Poverty that have spent trillions of dollars creating a permanent underclass over the last 45 years. Victimhood is a career choice, and the taxable working classes is the employer. So the stories of inequity and prejudice are endlessly repeated to fend off attempts to provide a more reasonable and lasting solution." Our math guy, Keith Devlin, joined us last week for an explanation of the algebraic lessons that are hidden in Alice in Wonderland. That segment prompted Mike Thomas of Long Eddy, New York, to write, he says, "When is a riddle just a riddle? Years ago, like the mathematics expert featured on Weekend Edition, I pondered Carroll's 'Why is a raven like a writing desk?' I scoured the annotated Alice, read papers both scholarly and amateur, and surfed the internet for hours on end. But no one's answer satisfied me as much as the one that I came up with for myself, which seems perfectly in keeping with Carroll's sly creative wit. Quite simply, a raven is like a writing desk because both have inky quills." Finally, last Saturday, we spoke with the radio host Delilah of Delilah After Dark. She dedicates love songs and doles out advice to 8 million-plus listeners. Laurel Costa of Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania, heard the interview and says, "If I wanted to listen to schlock like this, I'd tune in to, say, The View." But Dora Landon of Poughkeepsie, New York, says, "I appreciate stories like this one on NPR. Everything can't be highbrow all the time, and I've stumbled upon Delilah throughout my life and always pause for a moment and listen for a song or two." We like hearing from you. You can send us your thoughts. Go to NPR.org and click on Contact Us. You can also reach us on Twitter or at NPR Weekend, all one word. I'm NPR Scott Simon, all one word. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.